Cause once it's gone, it's never coming back. It's true. Could you love me the same? Tell me what makes you stay. There's a hundred ways to leave a love, leave a love, leave a lover. A hundred ways to leave a love, leave a love, leave a love. There's a hundred ways to leave a love, and I won't wait a minute longer. A hundred ways to leave, but I'm the only one that you need.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my amazing partner, Boris.
Wow, amazing. Well, thank you.
Our show is live on your radio, also live on our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, and our website, godisthecure.com, as well as in social media. We're broadcasting live from Miami through satellite, available on 35 stations among 11 states, and soon after the show, on any podcast player, and the next Sunday, on SiriusXM channel 131, The Family Channel. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God, who enables us to help each other. We provide testimonials to let people know that we are not alone, as well as experts and inspirational speakers who can help. In this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor of child abuse well into young adulthood. I do believe we all suffer somehow, but with the help of God, we can be a source of healing for each other. For me, God was the only cure, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life is challenging, but there's always hope when someone cares. At least God does. The song we played earlier was 100 Ways by Jackson Wang. Some of us look forward to outlasting past the seven-year itch, hoping that's our biggest challenge. Hard to believe that after 20 years of marriage, there can still be huge hurdles to tackle, especially when the sand is falling down so fast it's difficult to turn around. It's when someone wants to be loved the same, but forgets what makes their loved one stay. And the enemy knows of 100 ways to leave your lover, cleverly makes you feel as if you will not wait a minute longer. He knows once it's gone, it's never coming back if we keep believing we're all that is needed. When in reality, it's God, the only one that they need. Today we have a special guest, Dr. Mark Johnson. Dr. Mark Johnson is a medical doctor, a teacher, a mentor, and an innovator, dedicating his time on researching faith and our relationship to God and each other. This research led Dr. Johnson to author the Covenant series with Book 1, What is a Covenant? Book 2, The Covenant of Marriage. Dr. Johnson, you are now live on The Cure. Welcome to The Cure.
Amy, thank you. It's great to be here. I appreciate the invitation.
Doctor, let's just dive right in. How can some people have successful marriages while others fail?
You know, Amy, that's a very difficult question. There's so many reasons for one or one outcome or another. But the thing that has really drawn my attention over the last several decades is that God has a plan for marriage. You know, we tend to think of marriage as something that we just get into and figure it out as we go. When Jesus was asked about marriage, though, do you remember what he said? Jesus said, in the beginning, it was. And then he began to explain something about what God originally intended. So one thing that struck me about that is if we really want to understand marriage and if we want to deal with the issues of marriage, perhaps our best starting place is to go back and look at God's original intent for marriage. Now, this led into something else that I had been studying for a while, which is covenant relationships. In 1983, I did a Bible study by Kay Arthur on covenant, and she referred to a book by H. Clay Trumbull on multiple occasions. Trumbull published a book called The Blood Covenant in 1885, and this is still by far the best book I've ever seen on what a covenant actually is. Now, if you go back and look at what a covenant actually is, that suddenly answers many, many, many questions about how to conduct and how to build one of these relationships successfully. Now, on the other hand, you know, every...
Okay, so
every
tell us what the covenant, for those of us who don't know.
The covenant of marriage, let's do that.
A covenant of marriage, okay. Yes.
Okay, well, first, there are three covenants that are identity exchanges. Now, we tend to think of a covenant as a contract between two people, but that isn't at all what a covenant actually is. It's very different than that. In a covenant, two people, or a person in God in the case of the New Covenant, exchange their identity. There's literally, in the case of a blood covenant, which Trumbull studied, and which has been a part of human, almost every culture through history, something called a blood covenant. That and marriage and the New Covenant are all the same type of relationship. Now, that relationship is characterized by four things. One is an exchange of identities. The identity of one party goes into the other and remains.
Kind of a blood oath.
Yes, it is, and it is an exchange. And in a blood covenant, it was believed that the blood actually contained your identity. Therefore, when you took this into yourself, you took into yourself a part of the nature of the being of the other person.
Is that why Bobby gets my physical symptoms?
oddly, that is the case. My wife and I have been amused at a number of points by things that we shared that we didn't used to share. You know, and Holly is from Texas, and I began to be obsessed with all things of Texas, and Holly began to like grits, which Holly had never liked. And I'm from Alabama, so, you know, grits are big down there. But what happens is our identity literally goes into each other. Now, if a new element comes into our identity, the being that we were shifts into something different. Now, in the New Covenant, that is described in very graphic language. There's a new birth, a new creature. There's death of the old, birth of the new. You know, we live a new life.
Love
because
it.
We are new. Now, in marriage, it isn't as graphically described as that. It just says that we are one flesh. We become one flesh. But in that, in the word one, that word is the same word for one that is used to say God is one. Okay, that one is not a singularity. That one is one or two or more things that are joined by a common identity and a common nature, which in this case would be the Trinity. So marriage is designed to reflect the Trinity. We're designed to actually represent as a married couple the Trinity.
So me, Bobby, and God. That Trinity?
Yeah. And as you're in covenant, it was you're in covenant with God, you literally are a Trinity. So that is absolutely correct.
Nice.
Now, and once, if that is the case, then we have a total exchange of life. If my wife is in the very core of my being, if she is literally a part of me, you know, first, there's no contract that can do that. There's nothing that you can do to make that happen. That's a gift of God. That is something God does at a spiritual level for us as we get married. It says, what God has joined together, let man not separate. So there's a reality that is just as real as gravity. It's just as real as the chair you're sitting in, but you can't really see it or feel it or test it in the physical realm. So that's why I think a lot of people miss this. But we have lives. If we are the same, and first we're told to love the other as we love ourselves. Now, God makes that easy for us by literally making the other person an extension of myself. So what I do for my wife, I literally am doing for myself, and vice versa. So if we get that, okay, go ahead.
So everybody is starting that way.
Well, that is what happens as we enter the covenant. All of that happens immediately as we enter the covenant. And that joining of identity and that change of nature and identity is the reason for everything else we do. Now, we're called on to do many things in a marriage in the scriptures. And if we look at this again as a contract, this is just a to-do list. Without really a lot of good reason that we can see, and frankly, a lot of the things we're called on to do seem to be against our best interest and even run cross-grain to our nature.
Well, you know what? It really helps when you ask God to get in it after making many mistakes on your own, and you say, God, I can't do this anymore. You choose my husband. I asked for a huge sign, but that's a different show when I describe my book. And God did give me that sign miraculously. So this one was picked by God. Thank God.
Wow.
And to make
I guess
sure,
that's me.
And to make sure we married three times. We will continue with Dr. Mara Johnson about how to build a better relationship and create a good life. Stay with us. 866-34-TRUTH.
Call us. 866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Are you the one he's talking to when he gets up and leaves the room and comes back with a distance in his eyes? Maybe I should be the one to leave, but damn, when he starts loving me, it makes me think I'm all that's on his mind. Is it me? Is it you? Tell me who? Who's the other girl? Who's the first? Who's the fool? Who's the diamond? Who's the pearl? Are you mad? Me too. And I wonder in his world. Is it me? Is it you? Who's the other girl? Who's gonna put on the red dress? Scarlet letter on her chest. Can't love with this on her conscience.
Now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back to The Cure. This is Amy Cabo. Thanks for tuning in.
Are you changing the pronunciation of your name now?
Well, I'm trying it's to like say like Michelle. She says Cabo.
Okay. Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through our app The Cure with Amy Cabo, or later as a podcast too.
The song that just played was The Other Girl by Kelsey, Ballerini, and Halsey. Jealousy is detrimental to a loving relationship, and especially a marriage. Sometimes we blame ourselves when we're in conflict with our hearts and our temptations. We want to be the diamond, not the pearl, the center of their universe and everything in their world. We don't want to be the fool, wear the red dress with the scarlet letter on our chest. Do we really want that on our conscience? Doubt makes us angry. As do you, for past experience shouldn't matter, and once with God, somehow we'll muster through. We're talking to Dr. Mark Johnson, who's helping us understand how some marriages succeed while others fail. Doctor, before the break, we were talking about what a beautiful, lovely covenant marriage is, and how two people can actually be intertwined into one in thoughts, even in physical symptoms. I know this. Now, that's the beautiful side of it. Then how is it that marriages go wrong?
Well, Amy, that really comes down to one question. That question is, who are we? And let me explain that. When we enter a marriage, our self changes. Who we are literally changes, and we're now joined with a bond of identity and nature to another creature, to our wife or our husband. Now, what I found early in my marriage was something that I might be called on to do for the sake of love. I'm called on to love my wife as I love myself. Okay, so here's this thing I could do to love my wife. And some of those things are easy, but at points there's a stopping point. Now, what is that stopping point for love? What I found as I really looked at that was, if my sense of my self-interest was too violated by what I was called on to do for love, which would win? I mean, it could go either way, but usually my self-interest won out. Because the reason we get into marriage in the first place is to make our life better, right? But then, when I really thought of that covenant and what had happened, my self has changed. So what about my self-interest? Has my true self-interest actually changed? Because what drives virtually every behavior that we see, whether it's the best or the worst of behaviors, is we really think in the moment, this is my best move. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to completely screw up my life today. Every move that we make, we think we're doing the right thing for ourselves. Go back to Eve in the garden. You know, she didn't eat the fruit to be defiant to God. She ate the fruit to become a God. So, you know, she thought she was engaging in an upgrade by this behavior.
Now, maybe pride got in the way. Pride, jealousy.
I was deceived. You know, I thought this good thing was going to happen, and instead my life blew completely apart. Okay, so the key then is understanding what our true self-interest is, because Satan is at every point trying to convince us that it's something other than what it is. It's an affair, it's drugs, it's my job, it's making more money and ignoring my family, it's whatever it is.
It's you, not me.
Other than, right.
It's because of this. No, there's no because.
You know, and the Christian community sometimes doesn't help this conceptually, because they make it sound like it's about sacrifice. It's like, I'm selfless. I completely devote myself to the other person, but that's not really what a covenant is either. A covenant is a complete equality of the importance of the two, of the needs of both, of the life purpose of both. It is a completely equal relationship that we're supposed to be completely all into, and we're supposed to be completely loving. Now, if we understand that our true best interest, my best life over the next number of decades, is going to arise from loving my wife as deeply as I can now, and then even growing and transforming so that I can love my wife more and more over time, what happens? I'm now becoming a more loving person. I am becoming the person that I became in nature as this new creature. I'm now developing a life that matches this. I'm now being fully joined with the life of another. Now, this is an ideal. I mean, this sounds like one of those things that you hear, you're supposed to do this or be this, and we're like, yeah, right.
But it's not reality.
Well, it is not at the moment, but what I have spent the last 35 years in mentoring people and in teaching, and in you know, we have 7 children in marriage,
nice.
Watching this at close range in many, many lives, including my own, there really is a series of steps that we go through. God has a plan. A marriage, a covenant, is not just a tie that binds two together. A covenant is a plan to take us from where we start, step by step by step by step, to become the person that God intended us to be in the beginning by creating these relationships and joining us together. So this is a real offer that God makes, but we have to understand what the plan looks like. And we have to understand that this is going to require commitment and many things on our part.
Work.
But the main thing is
we have
to understand the plan.
This is my take. You know how I became the person that God intended me to be? Because Pickpocket never leaves me alone. And he's very clever. That's why he's Pickpocket. You have no idea. He's working on you. And, you know, so the only way that I was able to become the person that God wanted me to be, that makes my husband much happier, was by praying every day. There's not a day I don't go praying. It's not like, poof, the magic wagon, all of a sudden I know how to be. No, you need help. You need to ask God for help. He'll show you. He'll guide you. He'll make things happen. In fact, my husband's praying with me now. So it's worked out really well.
Look at that.
Absolutely. And yeah, there's another element that we often overlook. In Romans 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, which is the thing that's exactly the pitfall that we're describing that we latch onto. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The problem is that sentence is not followed by a podcast on how you do that. But if you look back through the spiritual lives of thousands of Christians that developed a very deep relationship with God and a very deep and vibrant marriage, that path has been laid out for us. You know, how we are transformed. And notice that we all tend in our Christian lives to think God does it all. We just are we're passive recipients of
this thing. To do our part.
Whatever God wants to do.
We have to do our part. I'll tell you, God helps only those who help themselves, not those who sit around and expect for it to happen. We'll return with The Cure live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Stay with us. We would love to hear from you.
Tell us what you think about your marriage. 1-866-34-TRUTH. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, and the courage to keep moving forward with the help of God. I want people to know that there's hope. I was forced into my abortion because I didn't think I had a choice. I want people to know there's choices.
Well, Amy, my heart is breaking. I just want you to know that I love you and I thank God for you.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Every Saturday at 1 Eastern on The Truth Network.
Continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back and thanks for tuning in. This is Amy Cabo.
And all shows are available as a video podcast too. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabo, and that's usually in iTunes right now.
The song that just played was Savage Love by Josh 685 and Jason Derulo. Derulo, yes. After 7 years as an orphan single mother, I had been so disappointed. I thought I would be a single mother until I met Bobby. Many times it was savage love, but it would be the last time someone broke my heart. If I woke up without him, I wouldn't know what to do. Sometimes I can be an angel or a savage, but that's our love. It's okay. We'll love it. It can only help us grow as long as we have God. We're talking to Dr. Mark Johnson, who's helping us learn from other people and God. Dr. Johnson, you've explained to us, you know, how special marriage is. But the reality is that people will be challenged. The enemy loves to divide. That's his favorite thing. And people will be challenged. And I'll tell you what, there'll be times where you get frustrated or where you get angry, or the same person that you're married to seems to have changed, or you don't know that person anymore. And you can pray and pray and pray, and you feel frustrated because things are not changing. And in those heat of the moments, you'd feel so powerful just to walk away. It's very unlikely that people can think with a clear mind when there's so many emotions involved. And once people are calm, they're able to talk it out. And I think that's what's helped us with our marriage, that we've always practiced forgiveness and unconditional love, but neither of the two are possible without God.
So are we doing like some kind of a marriage therapy on radio? Or? Dr. Joseph, can you help us with that?
Well, I want to help the people who are struggling. Oh, okay, I mean, okay. The people who are having a good marriage, they're okay.
Good, good, good.
Well, yeah, and Amy, if I might put that in context. I was learning about covenant, and much of what I have been applying and watching work in my current marriage. I was married once before, and none of that worked. There was another individual involved who was ultimately diagnosed with a personality disorder toward the end of our marriage. That was an extremely emotionally abusive situation, you know, for 16 years.
Wow.
I did not believe that that crazy is meets God's criteria for divorce. And there were children involved, so I stayed in that relationship and tried to approach it as constructively as I could. So during that part of my life, my question was, okay, this isn't working at all. This is horrific. So how does this actually work? And then at a point, this person opted to end the marriage. So at that point, my question is, how do I never, ever get into something like this again?
You ask and God next time.
Well,
you have a phone number.
Right. And, right. And for me, you know, it was so helpful to see what God's plan actually looks like. What is this supposed to look like? Now, once I really had a much better grasp on that, and God, you know, did a lot of work in my heart. This is a very long story, and it's certainly beyond this program. But then I think God led my wife and I together now, and we spent a couple plus decades building the very relationship that I saw was possible in God. But I had to know what that looked like, and frankly, I had to be desperate enough to make the necessary changes in myself and to learn what that process looked like, you know, the spiritual growth and the character transformation that is needed really to be a really good marriage partner. It's huge for all of us. Nobody walks into a marriage having this thing together at all. And in fact, marriage, I believe, is designed by God as a vehicle to take us from where we start. First, He completely transforms who we are as we enter the marriage, but we don't realize that. Then it's learning how to authentically live out the being and the relationship that we entered to begin with. You know, it's about moving toward authenticity. What I found is I looked at what a covenant is. When I signed up to enter the covenant of marriage, what is required in a covenant to be faithful to the covenant historically, and what God says to do to love another in the scriptures, that's the same list. When you look at the vows, the historic vows that are associated with weddings, that is literally a list enumerating all the things we're to do and to be. Now, some of those things are simple choices. I'll be nicer. I'll be better. I'll be more honest. I'll be more on time. I'll be whatever I need to be.
I'll be humble.
But then a lot of those things.
I'll put my pride aside. I don't need to win.
That was for me. I'll be humble too.
How you feel is more important, regardless of how I see it. Those kind of things.
You know, Amy, that is so true, because when Holly and I really understood that we are in each other, if you don't understand that, if you're in a contract marriage, you don't make a contract with yourself. You make a contract with somebody else.
Right, because it doesn't matter if you're right. If the other person sees it a different way and their feelings are hurt, you have to work with that person, regardless of how you see it, if you love that person.
Yes.
And I'm grateful enough that I have a loving husband. But it's very challenging for people. I mean, it takes two. People have to learn accountability and responsibility and ownership and do away with the excuses and the denial and the blame. I mean, if we can just guide ourselves
I'm taking notes, baby.
You know, and it helps to be humble and it helps to pray because you learn to love unconditionally. You learn to ignore the bad stuff and sometimes put what you want aside. And I love it. I love it when I put myself aside and put others first. Not that I want to put myself aside, but it makes me feel good.
Right. And you know, in a marriage, it's about the two of us realizing that my wife's interests, she now is part of myself. So her interests are just as important to me as my own. Her needs are just as important to me as my own. And it's not about me being right or her being right, which is kind of the typical initial discussions that you have in it, what that make the first year of marriage so interesting. You know, if it's about getting it right instead of being right, it makes all the difference. If we're collaborating, if we're building by, you know, consensus and collaboration. Now, again, there's a learning curve to learn how to do that. And Holly and I didn't start there. But now, when we have an argument, it looks like a board meeting. I mean, and we're laying out reasons for one thing or another. Very often, we'll switch sides. I'll take her initial side, she'll take mine, and we'll usually end up with something after we finish discussing all the factors and all the motivations and all the goals and all the things that feed into this decision. We'll often end up with something altogether different than either one of us started with.
And I bet you're calm when you do it. I bet you're calm when you do it. Because I'll tell you what, pickpocket may use your spouse to do something that frustrates you, and then he'll try to egg you on to stay there and say things angry and say things you don't mean and feel bad about yourself and feel further away from God because you were mean. Oh, no, no, thank you. I walk away.
I'm still taking notes. Good, good. Thank you, Amy.
You know, Amy, if like people will pay to watch two determined opponents go at each other in an MMA fight or football game or, you know, whatever. Like, if two are really going at each other, you know, that's interesting. Nobody's going to pay to watch somebody sit in a chair and mutilate themselves, right? I mean, that's deranged. No. Yeah, it's even more deranged to watch that or pay to watch it. So in a marriage, if two people are really going at each other, that's what they're doing. They're literally attacking themselves as they attack the other person. Once you get that, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
You know, it really changed my heart as I was working through issues to realize the person I'm talking to is literally a part of me.
And that's your best friend. That's the person you love the most. If you don't have your best friend, then who do you have? And you don't want to attack the hands that feeds you. I mean, dear God, he picked this marriage. I don't want to screw it up.
And, you know, Amy, what I've found is, you know, we can look at different little aspects here or there about marriage. We can listen better. We can be nicer. We can be more empathetic. Or, you know, we can look at particulars. But what I found to be most helpful, the really big move, big change play in my life, was to realize who I am and who my wife is.
And you know what? It all starts with us first. Once we realize what we need to fix in ourselves, we can love others. We would love to hear from you. We love your take. 866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Cross my heart, hope to die. To my lover, I'd never lie. Said be true, I swear I'll try. In the end, it's him and I. He's out his head, I'm out my mind. We got that love, the crazy kind. I am his, and he is mine. In the end, it's him and I.
65, speeding up the PCH, a hell of a ride. They don't wanna see us make it, they just wanna divide. 2017, Bonnie and Clyde, wouldn't see the point of living on if one of us died. Yeah, got that kind of style everybody try to rip off. YSL dress under when she take the mink off. Silk on her body, pull it down and watch it slip off. Ever catch me cheating, she would try to cut my crazy, but I love her, I could never run from her. Hit it, no rubber, never would, no one touch her. Swear we drive each other mad, she be so stubborn. But what the f*** is love with no pain, no suffer? Incense, this gets dense. She knows when I'm out, I feel like she could just sense. If I had $1 million, it was down to 10 cents. She'd be down for whatever, never gotta convince. No.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Again, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
Later, the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure. And please subscribe. And if you like it, send us a review.
The song that just played was Him and I by G-Eazy and Halsey. We cross our hearts and hope to die if we ever lie to our loved one who we promised to be true. When love is real, in the end, it's him and you. The world can try to divide us, and pickpocket doesn't want us to make it. It's the crazy kind of love sometimes, and we drive each other mad. It gets dense, and it can be intense. A part of love comes with pain and suffering. We just have to view it from God's lens. We are talking to Dr. Mark Johnson, helping us dissect our relationships.
There you are. See, he's a surgeon, so he'll be happy with the word.
I'm hoping to sew everything back together.
Actually. There you are. Okay.
But we do need to do a little internal work before we do that. Yeah, you know, let's go back. Bars, you asked a question earlier about, you know, what is a covenant? And let me go back to the four principal characteristics of this thing, because that's a guide that really is going to help us. First, it's about the exchange of identity, the change of nature, and the bond that's formed. The next thing is about the exchange of life that happens as a result. Our lives are shared. Often the wife's last name changes. Property becomes jointly owned. There are so many things. And in fact, everything is supposed to become communal within a covenant. That is what a covenant is a communal life. The next thing is that in that communal life, we're called on to love the other as we would love ourselves. And there are a lot of ways that that's done. We all come into a relationship with an idea of what love is. Mainly it's about our feelings and how we act when we're feeling the love and how much we enjoy somebody acting like that toward us when they're feeling the love. But what God wants to do is take our guidance system for how we treat each other from I'll love you when I feel like loving you, but when I don't. From that point, loving consistently, loving deeply, and loving well across the spectrum of life. And God's covenant is a plan, not just a relationship, but a plan that teaches us how to do that and grows us and transforms us into a person who can actually do that if we understand the plan. And that's in the covenant of marriage. Yeah, I spend a book, and in fact, I've got a 3-book series that takes that process from one end to the other step by step so we can really understand what God is trying to do in all of our lives. The next thing is the priority that our relationship has in our lives. And boy, in our culture, this one's challenged because our wife and our covenant are supposed to be, other than our relationship with
Doc, God. Sorry to interrupt you. We have a listener. Let's hear from a listener real quick. I have actually two listeners. Let's hear Billy. Billy from Charlotte. What is your comment? How can we help? You're now live.
The reason why marriages fail is because mostly the persons involved don't marry their complement. There's 7 motivational gifts. The servant needs an administrator. The giver needs an administrator. The administrator needs one person with both the servant and the giving complements. Then there's the mercy, which needs the prophet or a herald, and the person with exhortation or a learner needs a teacher. if those compliments aren't part of the marriage's expectations, it's doomed to fail.
Okay, that's actually a good point. I think, what do you think, Amy? Yeah, we compliment each other. Or Dr. Johnson?
Well, I think I would respond that true love is not found, it's built. You know, the experience of being deeply in love is a great start. But we tend to just think that that should continue ongoing, and it never does. Those feelings never continue. So what we are called on to do in covenant is to now build that loving feeling ongoing. Like my wife and I right now have deeper and stronger feelings for ourselves than we even did when we were head over heels in love in the first few months of our relationship or the first year of our relationship.
I think because actually we are the same.
Does that mean our love hasn't matured?
Yeah, right. We're better.
We've learned to subtract the things that pull us apart and build on the things that draw us together.
That's actually very smart. Wow, doctor, you're a very wise man.
That is an excellent
point. It's true. I agree. Thank you, Billy.
I'll tell you what brings us together, because it's very difficult and nothing works. If you can convince your spouse, you have to have God in your relationship. There's no other way about it. If you can convince your spouse to read the Bible and pray with you, it gets easier. I mean, not that things change, circumstances, so what's to say, but man, do they get smarter, more responsible, more understanding.
Oh.
And you
I feel like you're talking about me or something.
And you handle it better. Because I'll tell you what, people become their environments. You may meet a lovely, beautiful, wonderful, humble person, and they become successful, and all of a sudden they're a different person.
Oops.
And people can become their environment unless they pray. Pride doesn't win when you have God in the way.
Amy, you're talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's exactly the core of God's plan. And the fun thing is, when you begin looking at that, you know, at how to do that, there's several very powerful ways that we can choose to engage in on a regular basis. You're describing some of those, and they're extremely powerful. And that is the answer. You know, my heart bleeds for people because I really relate to this, of being in a relationship and one person is really trying to pursue one course and the other person isn't doing anything to build a relationship. You know, they're a taker, they're a user, they're an abuser. You know, that's
or they just don't realize it, or they don't want to accept that they're the one that's wrong. They're in denial, or it just seems like they don't care anymore.
It's right. They don't see that. And what I was told early on in Christian life is, if I don't like my wife, you know, 5 years after I'm married, it's my fault. Like, I'm somehow responsible for who she is or who she becomes. And that is very, very bad counsel, because even everyone is free to chart the course of their own life. Jesus loved people perfectly, absolutely perfectly. Yet, many people listened to what Jesus said and turned around and walked off, and Jesus did not chase them. Jesus does not invade our lives and make us be one thing or another. So how could a husband or wife take responsibility for transforming their mate into somebody who's going to be one thing or another? We can't. You know, again, this is where prayer comes in.
Yes.
God can, you know, lean on people's hearts, but he doesn't always do that. The encouragement that I would have is, if we're faithful, I am convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that the incredible marriage that I have to my wife, Holly, has much to do with the fact that I was faithful and devoted to God throughout that first situation. And, you know, I refrained from doing many things I could have done out of my frustration, and God delivered me from that situation.
Dr. Johnson, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we have very, very few minutes left, and I wanted just to put something here. If you tell us, our listeners, for 1 minute or less, simple tasks that they can do to improve their relationship.
If they're struggling. Let's say they're struggling.
You know, honestly, I would hate to self-promote, but I would actually recommend reading The Covenant of Marriage.
That's good. That's good.
I'm working right now on a study guide for couples on marriage to walk you through these things step by step. Because
give us one helpful hint. Come on, you can do it. Give us one helpful hint.
Okay, realize who you're dealing with. You know, as you look into the eyes, what I say is, whose eyes do you look into when you look across the breakfast table?
Or when you see the fault in
yourself to love.
And when you see the fault in the other person, are you looking at yourself too? Because probably you're guilty of the same thing. Oh, that's happened many times.
Amy wants to write a book about marriage too.
But guys, it's the end of the show again. We just have a few minutes left. So thank you, Dr. Johnson, for being on The Cure. It's very helpful to hear your scientific approach. And more information on Dr. Johnson and his book about confidence can be found on Mark Johnson, MD author.com.
That's right, right, Dr. Johnson?
That is correct.
It will be on the website. It will also be on the website.
On Amazon.
Perfect.
So we will finish with a prayer, as we always do. And it's a prayer for honesty in marriage. Honesty is very important. You can't get very far without honesty.
I agree.
Father God, we come before you today to ask you to help us do everything with absolute honesty in our marriage. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. Help us to never lie to one another. Help us to come clean if we mess up or make a mistake that can affect our marriage. No matter how bad we may feel or embarrassed we may be, give us the ability to be completely transparent with one another regardless of how we feel. We thank you for the discernment to know your truth and the conviction to call on the name of Jesus. Is there anything that we have been untruthful about in the past? Please help us to share it with one another and give us wisdom to work through it. We thank you for helping us to be honest as we choose to submit to your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And stop lying to each other. You have given up your old way of life with its habits. Each of you now is a new person. You're becoming more and more like your Creator, and you will understand Him better. Colossians 3:9-10. Thank you to our audio producer, Jasper, for being with us today and playing our songs. And to Robbie Dillmore of Kingdom Pursuit and the Christian Car Guy for his love and dedication. His shows are truly awesome.
More information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.